closer.
In brightest day,
in blackest night.
I'm the best of the rest of what I do. What I do best isn't very nice.
The Comic Culture Radio Show. Chris Owen, Walter DeRiley.
Excelsior!
Crush your enemies. See them driven before you. They hear the lamentation of the women.
Hey, welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting, as always, on 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio, and we're podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Walter DeRiley, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we are your Men of Steel.
Slowly rusting away under millions of pounds of comic books.
Yeah, we're off. Yeah, we are like the staples, Chris. At the center of a comic book.
Right, slowly rusting away.
Yeah, slowly rusting away.
Sometimes getting pulled apart.
Yeah, water damaged.
Water damaged. Oh. Yeah, it's tough being us.
You know what? Yeah, it is. You know what? You know what's bad for comics?
What's water?
Spilling beer on comics.
It really is.
It is. Because really the suds, you have to, if you quickly see, sometimes, see the new comics, Chris. This is a thing.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
Okay, here's the thing. Okay. Here's
I was
thing.
Once drinking some water.
Right.
Reading a comic.
Beer, yeah.
And it's like a little drop fell on the new comic. And guess what? It beaded.
Oh, yeah. You know what? That doesn't happen with old comics.
With old comics, it just sucks
old,
it right in. It just,
newsprint.
It's you know what it's made of? Bounty. Old comics are made of bounty.
They kind of are, aren't they?
Yeah. Because it just sucked it right in. It was like water damage
right
away.
Yeah, it's done.
Oh,
over.
Yeah. I remember years ago. Sorry. We used to have, in the old days, we used to have the Mylar. Remember the Mylar bags?
Yes.
They're open at the top.
Yes.
So we used to put Mylar books right into the Mylar bags.
Oh, bro. Yeah.
Right? So really, like, the air is getting into the top of the book,
there,
right? And we were talking near comics, and I swear, some guy made me laugh, and I had some Coke, and I did one of those fountain things.
Spit take? Yeah.
Oh, and it went right into a box, and there was Batman in it and stuff.
All
I swear, like maybe 15, 16 books got damaged with.
So somewhere out there, there's a little bit of Coke and Walt saliva.
Yeah, on, Coke and maybe something else in that.
Yeah, right.
I don't want to
talk. Are you saying it wasn't just Coke?
Well, let's just say Coke.
Okay, fair enough. All right. So listen, here we are. We are here once again for talking about comic books.
There we are with our producer, Shecky.
Good Shecky Feldstein is to my left.
Yeah, here I am. Hey, thanks, Chris. Hey, thanks,
and,
Walt.
And as always, we have our young buck, Andrew Roebuck, producing our show with us, as always.
Engineering it to the
engineering,
to your right.
Engineering,
yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Shecky produces it.
You know,
Chris.
I get these guys mixed up.
Roebuck
is he taking my job?
Yeah, I think he's taking my job.
He's stealing my bit.
Yeah. You know what? No more trips to Niagara with you.
No.
Long
story, we won't get into that tonight. But listen,
right.
Chris, you and I and Shecky and the kid here, we're all here every week. We gather to inform the masses of what's happening in the world of comics. And we always like to start the show off with what's hitting the new this week stands at your local comic book shop. Because you and I, if we do anything else.
We got to inform the masses.
About. Supporting their local comic
book shop.
We're all about the local comic
all
book shop.
All about championing the local shop. All right.
So we're going to throw it over to Shecky
and
here.
And that said, I have to inform you of the sponsor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Go ahead,
so, new this week is brought to you by A Galaxy Far, Far Away, formerly owned by Lucasfilm and now owned by Donald Duck.
Hey, that's very
that's a good
true.
Point, yeah.
That's very, very true. But you know, in a way.
The Donald.
You know, hey, you know, it just occurred to me that, so Lucasfilm produced Howard the Duck, and now Disney owns Howard the Duck and Donald.
They have two ducks.
They have two ducks.
Wow.
Gotta get they got to get their ducks in a row.
Ducky for them.
Right. If they bought Duck Dynasty, then they'd be in business.
They'd pretty well corner the market on the whole
on ducks.
Ducks.
Yeah.
Listen, Not talking about ducks. We got to talk about X-Men number one. This is, of course, the X-Women version, I guess you could call it. I don't really. It just says X-Men number one, but it's not. I don't know really what you want to call it.
Estrogen number one.
Well, here's the thing. It's just. It's all the X-Women in the books, right? So it's like you got your.
So why is it called X-Men number one?
Well, that's
one?
A great question. I'm trying to find the indicia.
Here it is. Another thing about women trying to take over the men thing. They even want the man title.
Yeah, it's actually even called X-Men,
yeah,
number one.
I disagree.
So in this book, you've got you know, Storm and Rogue and Psylocke and Jubilee and Kitty Pride. You know, so
all the X-Women.
All the X-Women. Part one of three. This is Primer. Now, this is a really cool looking book. I have to say that I'm really happy. Brian Wood is the writer. Oliver Coipel is the penciler.
Coipel.
I've always had a tough time saying that. Coipel.
He did well.
And, yeah, great-looking book. I got to say, it's almost like it's kind of classic-y. Whoever they designed the costumes are kind of taking a little bit of the old and a little bit of the new, and it's kind of – it looks like it's nice for us old guys who like the old X-Men.
Yeah, you're
but
right.
It's also from the 2000s.
Yeah, 2000s. Yeah, awesome. Listen, I hope it's well-received. X-Men number one, the all-women X-Men.
All women.
Now, how long do you think before an ex-guy comes into the X-Women?
You know what? There's always some sort of guy infiltrating, right?
Yeah.
So, like, but here, you know, I'm not at all. It'd
be like a panty raid.
I'm not at all worried about this book, but I'm wondering if there was a book that was just X-Men, if there would be some sort of outcry.
Yeah.
You know what? Why isn't there?
Hold on. Let's go back. Beep,
beep, beep, beep. Beep. Yep.
The thing that made the X-Men so powerful in the late 70s was the way it started empowering the female characters with strong female characters.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, the X-Men was the first title really that brought female readers and female role models. I'm not going to say obviously the first. There's obviously Wonder Woman and stuff like that.
But when
you think about it, the X-Men were a little bit less sexist.
Yes.
In their approach, a little bit more
empowering.
Empowering, a little bit more equal. It was groundbreaking stuff that really, you know, resonated with audiences.
Yes, absolutely.
So I don't know. Now it's almost like it's gone full circle way over to the other end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So X-Men number one,
and
all women X-Men.
That's right.
Number one. Is that your local comic book shop? Today.
All right. Now, you know, I've really branched out. I normally used to only do one DC and one Marvel, but there's just
you.
So much good stuff.
Yeah, you're just going for it.
Am going for it. Going for Indestructible Hulk from Marvel. This is, of course, by Mark Waid and Walt Simonson. Now, Walt.
Yo, you're my namesake.
A fellow Walt.
Yeah.
Walt Simonson. Walt, you are a fan of Walt Simonson. I know because Walt Simonson is an old-timey comic book artist. Mm-hmm. And you're an old-timey comic book guy.
Thanks, Chris.
Is he spilling suds on comics, too?
He was
all over the place.
He spilt a few.
I got to say, loving Indestructible Hulk. Now, you know what? You might ask, why do I like this book so much?
Hey, Chris, why do you like that book so much?
Well, here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
Mark Waid has written this awesome story where I don't want to give too much away.
Don't. But, give it away now.
But basically, Thor and the Hulk are kind of together in this book. The Hulk is,
indestructible.
It's indestructible. But Thor doesn't. It's like a Hulk. It's a Thor from the past.
Right.
And so the Hulk has now just made his appearance in front of Thor for the first time. He'd never seen this guy before.
Oh, okay.
And they're battling on Jotunheim. So the Frost Giants.
It's a fjord in Norway.
There's Thor, there's Hulk, there's Frost Giants. What more do you want out of a comic book? You
know, probably some yodeling.
Yodeling.
Yeah.
Listen, if you aren't satisfied with Thor, Hulk, Frost Giants.
Yeah.
And Jotunheim.
Yeah.
Jotunheim. Yeah. You got problems. Right?
Don't even bother reading.
Yeah, turn the dial off.
Don't even read it. No.
Don't even listen to us. Listen, Indestructible Hulk number 8 is available at your local comic book shop today.
All right. Next up, we've got Batman the Dark Knight Annual number 1. Now,
they still do annuals?
Yeah. You know, it boggles my mind, but they still do them. So this one has a phenomenal-looking cover.
Phenomenal.
The cover has – it looks like Batman is swinging in front of what could be Arkham Asylum, because in the windows of three windows there, we've got the Scarecrow, the Penguin, and the Mad Hatter. So it's a great looking painted cover, and three separate little stories about the Batman and what looks to be Arkham Asylum. Awesome looking book, really looking like.
Now, Chris, let's talk a little bit about something.
Let's talk about it.
Actually on this week's Undervalued Spotlight that I post every week on comicbookdaily.com.
Oh, yeah.
Which, by the way,
is also hosts this show.
Podcast. This show.
Yeah.
And exclusively podcast the Comic Culture After Hours segment.
Exclusively.
Well.
Oh, you know what? Which is coming up after this show, by the way.
Great guy there, Shecky.
That's why he's producing. He's trying.
Yeah, he's trying.
What was I talking about?
I don't know.
Oh. Let me.
I stopped listening a while ago.
Okay. Yeah. Now I remember. Annuals. So I picked. Has undervalued the Marvel Team-Up Annual number one.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, with Spider-Man.
And the reason is because it was like a very early appearance of X-Men that doesn't correlate to value with, say, the corresponding issue in X-Men, right? And a couple of threads, a couple of comments came back saying it's all about the annuals. Collectors hate annuals.
That's so true.
Is it so true? Like, I remember in the old days, the annuals never got a dinner.
You know, okay, you know? First of all, in the old days, annuals, okay, remember, we have to remember that for the most part, back in the day, most comic collectors were completists.
Yes, they were.
Annuals usually had nothing to do with the main storyline. They were just like a one-off.
Yeah.
And so
as a
collector, you're reading them, you're like, okay, I got to buy this because I have to have them all. But this one has nothing to do with anything, yet I still got to buy it.
Yeah, but still, like, let's say, for example, that Marvel Team-Up Annual 1, that's tied into Marvel Team-Up 53.
Right.
It's part of the X-Men continuity.
Okay.
You know what?
I agree with what you're saying.
Okay.
But annuals, let's go back to the 1990s.
Let's
annuals.
Go back, way back. How far
annuals.
You want to go back? Way back.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
1990s annuals.
Check he does.
Yeah. Oh, I get it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's some rap thing.
Yes.
Yeah,
all right, go ahead.
I get it. I'm just ignoring you.
Oh.
So the 1990s annuals, especially from Marvel, because really DC didn't do a whole lot, but Marvel seemed to get – they caught on this trend where they wanted to have – four or five annuals all tell a story. So,
I remember like Atlantis Attacks and stuff like that.
Atlantis
Those
Attacks,
were awesome.
Terrible.
Okay.
Just terrible.
Terrible.
Itsy Bitsy Spider-Man story or whatever it was, running through five different Spider-Man.
Terrible. Yeah.
So let's say you bought Amazing Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
And to be a completist, you bought Amazing Spider-Man annuals.
Right.
Well, now all of a sudden, if you want to read the rest of the story, you got to buy Web of and Spectacular Spider-Man and Simple Spider-Man or whatever it was called.
You know what? I think you had some of those storylines. You had to buy like Nova. And Power Pack Annual.
It was terrible.
Terrible stuff because you had to read Atlantis Attacks.
Now,
right?
DC started doing it. Remember they had this whole Invasion thing? And then that was even it was also just terrible.
Ah, terrible.
You know what? So anyways.
Anyway,
looks
listen.
Like there's
Batman the Dark Knight.
Go and buy this annual. They're great.
Batman the Dark Knight Annual, number one, collector's item. Is available.
Can I bring up one small point in 10 seconds or less that I just noticed from this book?
Yeah.
Looking at the marketing sense of, you know, DC and Marvel, I hate when they date their own books and they just start stealing. The back cover is fine for advertisements. You sell your Superman DVDs or whatever on there.
Yeah, you're right.
But I hate when they put on the front cover a big blatant advertisement. It's a Batman Dark Knight book and it's got Man of Steel in theaters and IMAX 6/14/13.
You know
I hate
nothing,
that.
That's nothing new.
I hated it too, but they did it in the 70s with the Superman movie
back then,
Or Marvel did it with Hulk on TV.
Yeah, that's right.
But you're right, Shecky.
My two bits.
Yeah. Well, Shecky, you know, you're right and you're wrong. So listen, we got to talk about Justice League of America number four.
Number four already.
Where's
the time go?
Now, you know, I don't know if I quite get this book yet. It's got Catwoman and Martian Manhunter. I don't know. I'm not quite sold on it yet. It's got Green Arrow and it's got Steve Trevor in it, of all people. Steve Trevor, you know, right from Wonder Woman, right?
Yeah,
Steve Trevor was Wonder Woman's main squeeze.
Yeah.
Now,
the guy with two first names.
that's right. You gotta love
never that. Trust the guy.
But it's also got like Vibe and Katana, and they're fighting.
Zatanna with the fishnets here, or what?
Yeah, no, not in a Katana, not Zatanna.
Oh, I'm sorry. Aren't they the same thing?
No. One has a sword and one has magic powers.
One has fishnets.
One's Asian. One has fishnets.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
So all listen. Right. Yeah, the jury's still out on this book for me. I think the art looks great, but yeah. I think the storyline, I'm just not digging it.
Right on. Listen, Jim Lee, Scott Snyder, this is huge.
That was an ad you just read.
Oh.
In the middle of every, literally in the middle of every book this week, there is an ad for Superman. No, I'm not giving it back to you because you're not going to make you look at this. There's a giant 2-page spread for an ad that says Superman Unchained. And of course, Walt in his brilliance goes straight to that page and says, oh, look at that. This is by Scott Snyder and Jim Lee. It's got to be good.
You know what the problem was? I absolutely wasn't paying attention to a word you were saying.
Yeah. Oh, really? I couldn't tell.
Right. Listen, Justice League by, who the hell wrote it, Chris? Jeff Johns and Brent Booth. number 4. Hey, it's available at your local comic book shops. And please, head into the center spread of that book because, boy, Scott Snyder, Jim Lee. You don't want to miss that.
You'll see a great 2-page ad for a Superman comic coming out. All right, listen. All right. Last up, we got to talk very quickly.
Now that we got their interest, Chris.
Very quickly, got to talk about My Little Pony from IDW. As usual, IDW sends out great licensed property comic books, and My Little Pony is one of the more recent ones that's doing phenomenally well. Sells crazy, crazy numbers.
Chris, listen. I got a thing with My Little Pony here. You and I know the people listening to this show on CFMU, McMaster Radio, Hamilton's award-winning radio station, by the way, 93.3 on your FM dial. After Hours last week, we talked about My Little Pony and the demographics of My Little Pony.
Yep.
And at work, I get the peon job. I get to put in all the comics into their new this week's slots.
Right.
Because that's one of the things I can do.
Right.
So that's one of the few things.
Even though you own a store, that's one of the few
things.
They
trust me with that because apparently I don't screw up enough as much.
Right.
I noticed yesterday that I put My Little Pony into the kids section.
Oh.
Because that's where it goes.
Yeah, isn't it?
But no, but we were talking last week
about
My Little Pony, all the 20-year-olds and stuff, and they fondled themselves to it or something like that. I forget what we were talking about.
About that on After Hours.
After Hours, sorry, so, I can't mention that here.
Let's be careful with what you're talking about.
Yeah, but it doesn't belong in the kids section now,
does it?
Well,
the comics do.
Do they?
Sure, because they're still meant for kids, but...
But I thought the demographics showed that most of the My Little Pony people were...
I don't want to get too involved in this. Right. All I'm saying is that it's for kids, yet there's adults who are buying it.
Okay. All right. Listen.
So, it's...
My Little Pony, number 4, is available in the kids section of your local comic book shop. But please don't be alarmed if some 23-year-old with a trench coat... is over there looking at them.
All right, listen. We absolutely have to cut to a musical interlude here. And what better way than we were talking about Justice League. Let's talk about the Justice League and the Flash.
He's the monarch of motion, the sultan of speed. The Wizard of Wiz, oh yes indeed. Go from here to China in a no time flat. Beat the speed of light and you can't beat that.
The Flash,
meet the mighty Flash.
The Flash,
in a fight he'll smash and crash. Smash a whole gang of crooks or schnooks. Hey, he'll just clobber any kind of bad guy. Thief or robber, the world's fastest human. Yeah, man.
The Flash.
Hey, did you like that one? That's the first time I ever played that.
I love that one. Hey, Chris, didn't they used to call you the Flash in high school?
Yeah,
in college?
Sadly. That was my track record.
I thought it was at the dorm.
No, that was my track record.
Chris, listen, that was a great song. Who sung that, by the way? Was that Elvis Costello?
That was I have no idea. It was songs and stories about the Justice League of America.
By Elvis Costello.
Sure.
All right. Yeah. Awesome. Elvis, you're awesome. Listen, that takes... Where does that take us, Chris? I usually get lost,
you know,
at this
You are just completely lost. You know? That whole Superman thing, the ad that you thought was a comic book.
Isn't that
you know
great?
What? Yeah. So, you know, let's just hand it over to Marty because he knows that Mailbag is up next.
Okay.
He does. So... Mailbag.
Mailbrag.
Mailbrag.
Mailbrag, I'm bragging.
Mailbride.
Mailbag this week is brought to you by China Love.
Weren't you a teenage male bride?
I was. Sorry, Shecky,
and they gave you back. They swapped you. Anyway, buy My Little Pony Hairspray, because when you frolic in forest for a living, it's all about the hair if you want to look like a mare.
Ayo.
Get that? That's pretty good.
Because, you know, every 12-year-old these days is looking like a 22-year-old?
I like it. Well, that was good. That was very good.
Anyway.
Excellent.
Moving forward onto the actual mailbag.
Yes.
So, dear Walt, as a comic store owner and old book buyer, how do you decide how far is too far to drive just to look at a collection? Also to Chris, as a collector, how far away would you drive to get that elusive book you've always wanted for your collection? Now, I do have to bring up, this is Christoph from Ottawa. I may think that you guys, depending on your answer, might be getting a phone call from him.
Oh, Christoph.
Oh,
okay.
See,
if it's
Christoph.
Not far enough.
Okay.
But.
I got to be diplomatic here. Christoph, it's all about it's all about the age and the bitterman level that you've reached. So if you're jaded and bitter like I am, you just say...
Wait, we're not talking about John Bitterman from
No,
from
we're not.
Burlington.
John Bitterman, we're okay with John.
Okay, all right.
John understands us now.
Okay, I'm just asking, okay.
It's like now at this stage in my career, Chris, I'm saying like, you know, I get these phone calls. What's this guy's name, Jim?
Christoph.
Oh, Christoph.
Close. Right. As always,
Jim.
I would say to Jim,
I would say, look, buddy.
I think his name was Jim Christofferson.
Jim Christofferson. I say, hey, you bring him in or I ain't seeing him.
Wow, that's pretty bold.
Yeah,
there was a day when you would
go anywhere. That's my point.
You've lost it, man. You've lost your edge.
Way. No, I swear. But no, I mean, in all honesty, though, too, it also comes to a much more careful now. I used to chase leads,
right?
You know, just for the fun of it, right? But now, with comic shops, guys, it's like you send me a list, send me some scans.
Right, so you at least have an idea of what you're going
into,
right?
Yeah.
It's
right. So, you know what?
So I've got old books. Come and look. Drive up to Ottawa.
No, I used to do that. I would love to do that. You know,
but now you know what?
I would ask, Shecky here to go with me.
Of course you would. You'd always ask Shecky.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, some of those basements were daunting.
I know.
But the thing though is no, like. You have to now because time is money.
Yep. Yep.
From my perspective, I have to look at it, Jim, from a
you're not a young buck anymore.
No, but you also have to look at it from a business perspective.
His name's Christoph.
Sorry.
Doesn't matter anymore.
I think he's pissed off right now. He's a pissed off Christoph. anyway, pissed off.
Okay.
I would ask you to send over a list. I would ask you to send over some scans of the more important books. I would try to negotiate as much as I can without seeing them to feel if it's worth going up.
You know what? Not going too far on with this. But let's say he's got a decent, you know, bit of a run for you, whatever, and he's up in Ottawa. Mm-hmm. You know, like did you?
I would gladly go.
The kind of cost to loss ratio of, you know, the drive up. If I don't get them and I come back, it's a day.
That's okay, though. Yeah. That's the art of finding collections, though. That's the philosophy that you have to take as a person that buys and sells old books is you cannot have 100%. I mean, if you have 25%, you're doing good. Because you have to know going in if the guy's smart. He's probably going to have a couple other people looking at it and that kind of thing. So, I'm much more careful now than I was back in the day when I would just go on a whim.
Right.
I'd have to feel it out, get some information first, but I'll still travel. I'll get on a plane to Calgary if I think the guy is serious enough and there's good enough books.
And Chris, the second part, how far would you travel for that Power Girl signed by a blonde girl?
You know what? I'm on along the same wavelength as Walt. I don't collect as much as I used to. Really, you know what? I find more fun in going to conventions and rooting around in old books and rooting, you know, with my buddies and all that kind of stuff rather than going to a particular person's house or something, which I've done.
You would make the trip to, say, Chicago, which, you know, we've done.
Absolutely, yes.
But you're going for the entire convention. You're going for 50 guys.
I'm going for the experience.
Yeah.
Now, having said that, if I found out that, you know, some guy in New Liskeard had a comic collection from the 1950s that wanted to get rid of it, didn't really know what to do with it, I would absolutely help him out, and I would go and check it out and maybe buy it and then sell it to him.
I'll help you right out. Give me that.
But you know what I mean?
I'm
not, but I don't spend a lot of money on books.
Yeah.
I don't spend thousands of dollars on it. So
I'm wondering if there is some guy who just makes, you know, he travels.
I'm sure there is.
Just to look at, you know, because he still has the passion that you've obviously bitterly lost.
Listen, Bitterman, if I could throw a plug into Vintage Comics. Vintage Comics is a guy named Roy Delich. And Roy operates out of the Waterloo area, Kitchener-Waterloo, Cambridge area. This man gets on planes at the drop of a hat to go look at collections.
Right.
But this man's living, and he does it well, is dealing in high-end books.
Right.
And you can't deal in high-end books within a two-hour drive radius.
No, you really can't.
You know, it's like an international game.
If that is your entire business, I mean, you're a little different. You're running a store based on, you know, new comics, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're running a business out of your house that's based on old books and you have to be able to turn over lots of old books in order to make a living, you gotta dig, man.
Oh, you gotta get on that plane.
Yeah.
So kudos to guys like Roy, though.
Great question from Christoph.
So that's good.
Thanks, Christoph.
Thank you from Christoph Pistofferson.
Jim Christoph.
Okay. Yeah.
Christoph.
We're going to keep on going here. We got to talk about, well, you have a couple of quick tidbits before we really get into industry news. Captain, something very near and dear to your heart, Captain Canuck Indiegogo. Tell me all about it.
Oh, Chris, Indiegogo, the campaign to raise $50,000 to help finance their webisodes, their comic, their cartoons that are going on the internet. The plan for the first one to be posted July 1st. The Indiegogo campaign ended two days ago. On Monday.
Yep.
They had a goal to raise $50,000. They raised $51,900 and something.
Nice.
So they met their campaign
goal. How much of that did you put in? About $50,000?
About $9.
Okay, good.
You know, I like to be part of it.
Yeah.
There's a $5 thing, and I was anonymous.
Oh, very good. Yeah.
But what are you going to do? So it's great. That means there was tons and tons. I forget what the number was, 400 or 500. I forget what the number was at all of contributors. There was a lot of people jumped on, and they gave what they could.
Right.
Because they wanted to see it happen. And it's a great thing.
Awesome.
So
awesome.
Look for more news.
Looking forward to that. You know, I'm really looking forward to seeing what Captain Canuck is going to look like on webisodes, because I'm hoping that this will lead into something a lot bigger.
I hope so, too. Yeah. All right.
Absolutely. All right, listen. You know what? Walt, you and I are going to be going to Niagara Falls in 2 weeks.
Whoa.
Don't forget Shecky.
Well, I know you didn't today when you went without me.
Right.
Hey, I'm coming in the trunk.
All right.
Come on now.
Listen. Niagara Falls Comic Con is being held Saturday and Sunday, June 8th and 9th at the Scotiabank Convention Center. Now, of course, the big lure of this show is Adam West is going to be there the famed 1960s Batman TV show.
Yep.
However, other comic artists such as George Perez will be there.
Mark Silvestri will be there.
You know, so lots of great comic
artists. I'm going to see Corey Feldman.
Pat Mastriano will be there.
Pat Mastriano,
good friend of ours.
Joey Jeremiah.
Yeah, yeah. Joey Jeremiah.
What was the show again?
Degrassi High.
Degrassi Junior High.
Yeah. A right. lot of celebrities, a lot of comic artists. It's going to be a good show.
Good show.
Local talent
like us,
Leonard Kirk
will be there.
Will be there, and you, myself, Shecky Feldstein will be there. So, listeners, if you're listening, come in on the Saturday or the Sunday to the Scotiabank Convention Center in Niagara Falls, and come say hi to Shecky, come say hi to Chris.
I do have a soft spot for people that come dressed up in cosplay.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're coming into the show and you know what, let's say you're dressed up as
Power Girl,
or Hot Girl, or Wonder Woman,
or Hot Pant Girl.
You might have a trending preference.
I'm just saying.
Come say hi to Uncle Chris.
Yeah.
What if it's
if you want me to sign something, yeah, I'm good with that,
Chris,
too.
What like if a cheek?
What if it's Conan in a loincloth?
That doesn't matter. No, anyway,
okay. Doesn't matter. Right, yeah. He won't sign a cheek, though.
All right, listen. In all seriousness, a lot of fun going to happen at Niagara Falls Comic Con coming up this June 8th and 9th at the Scotiabank.
Yeah, Convention Center. Google that. I'm not sure the website, nfcomiccon.com, I believe.
Oh,
nfcomiccon.com. Just get on their website, pretty proactive site, and you'll get all the details about stuff that's happening.
All right, Man of Steel.
Yeah, what else we got? Man of Steel. Today is the 30th, right?
Today is the 29th, I believe.
30th.
28th. No, 29th.
Yeah, 29th. And Man of Steel, I think 2 weekends from this weekend.
Opening up.
Is opening up. And we've discussed the Man of Steel before on the show.
Yes.
And we've discussed the importance of the success of this movie.
Yes.
And I won't – listen, I'll backtrack here.
Okay? Beep, beep,
beep, beep.
Yep.
I don't think the success of this movie is as important as the quality of this movie.
Aren't they usually hand in hand for like
no,
a comic book movie?
Sometimes they aren't.
To it?
You know
like
what?
The big flashy ones, though?
Sometimes they
you know
aren't.
Okay.
Because if it has quality, hold on, just let me finish my train of thought before I forget it.
I think it left the station, but go on.
If it has quality, then it has staying power and it will be viewed for years to come and it will build.
Right.
If it has, I don't know, gimmicky things, and it's just like a rush to it.
Okay,
and
so
it does okay.
Let me see where you're going with this. So, for example, the Tim Burton Batman movie,
yes,
hugely popular when it came out.
Right,
I would not watch it today.
Terrible.
Right.
Terrible.
Right. Terrible movie.
Terrible.
So, however,
what are we talking about? The same movie?
Yeah.
Tim
terrible.
Burton Batman. I would not watch that again.
Anyway,
no.
Kid.
The Superman, Man of Steel, Christopher Reeve Superman movie.
I'd watch it all day.
Quality movie.
Yeah.
Did very well at the box office. Mm-hmm. It was not. I don't know if it was. I can't say if it was a blockbuster smash hit, but you know, did very well.
What I think,
but I could still watch that today.
Right. What I think Superman, the Man of Steel, the movie, the Man of Steel needs is to be a really good movie.
Yeah.
Because what they have to do is they can't think short term and look at 2 weekends of box office.
No.
They can't do that. Then they lose sight of the property.
Right.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That Iron Man, that first Iron Man movie was awesome.
Absolutely.
And it didn't do that. I mean, it was a surprise hit and it did okay. You know, Iron Man 3 blew it away by whatever, right?
Yeah.
But the reason Iron Man threw it away by whatever is the Iron Man movie made the base.
Right.
So I don't think the execs at, what's the place called? DC?
DC, yeah.
I don't think the execs should get excited about... Here's the problem with capitalism, per se.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we're all going to look at numbers.
I see what you're saying.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
we're all going to look at numbers of money, and none of us are going to look at how good was this movie?
But
how watchable was this movie 5 years from now, 10 years from now, whatever? How well did this movie plant the seeds for the future growth of the character?
I get that. And you know what? If I can – this is a completely tangential but not really – Austin Powers, when that movie first came out, I know you're looking at me like, why am I talking about this? But when Austin Powers first came out in the theater, it did not do that well. However, video and DVD, well, I guess just video back then, video sales and video rentals of that movie made it a blockbuster. And then all of a sudden, like, it did 50 times that in the theater for the next one,
sure.
The second one.
Sure.
So it did much better.
That's how it works. That was kind of like the big Napoleon Dynamite conference.
Right.
It made so much money in DVD
and
and distribution sales.
Because it was a well-done movie, even though it didn't make that movie.
It
in,
was. It,
make
it, it just took a while for the buzz to come out about it after the fact when people actually had first-hand experience.
So I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Okay. I'm just going to – no, actually, you know what? You finish your thought because I had a completely different thought.
Well,
the problem,
the dilemma and the hurdle that a Man of Steel faces, though, is the expectations.
Yes.
Austin Powers, Iron Man, those are two movies that had no expectations per se.
This has huge expectations.
This has huge expectations and a lot of things riding on it. Unneeded pressure for a movie, and that my fear is that based on those expectations and pressures, they went for a quick buck.
Yeah. Okay. So
you know what I'm saying.
I agree with what you're saying. Sorry. Go ahead.
No. I was actually this relates to that. Is that I actually think that there is so much riding on it from the DC standpoint, and you want to know why? It's because Well, they did one movie, Superman Returns.
Yeah.
Right? They did Superman Returns, and then they canceled it. You know, they dropped off of that, and they rebooted after one show. Three Spider-Mans came out that were box office monsters.
Yeah.
And then they rebooted it because they wanted to take it into a different sort of
darker direction. I wouldn't watch any of them again.
Yeah,
okay,
exactly.
But you understand that's a successful run, though, financially,
yeah. Right? Yeah, right?
So
right,
when
right.
they rebooted it, it was just to go in a different direction because that direction was it met its end, just okay. like The Dark Knight. But Superman got axed and rebooted because it was terrible.
Terrible, right?
Right. Just
yeah.
like
right.
The Incredible Hulk. But the yeah. second Hulk did well. If this one bombs, too... Superman can't be rebooted in 3 years again. You can't
just keep rebooting every three years
yeah. Yeah. until you get something that works. So this has to work. Otherwise, they don't have another Superman property for probably 8 years.
Listen, yeah. you know what? All right. One of the things that they're doing right, though, is that they're getting the everyday layperson involved in thinking about Superman. Because you know what? Superman, the Man of Steel, they've decided that they're going to go with... okay, the average person, what do they know about comics?
Nothing.
Not much.
Just what the commercials tell them.
Right. Yeah. So they have decided, the people behind the Man of Steel property have decided, let's, for lack of a better term, dumb it down a notch. And let's start thinking about this stuff in a comical sort of way. Because this is comics.
Right.
And they have created an advertising feature where they've asked predominant comic book people and sort of, you know, creative TV people
yeah.
about Superman.
Superman.
So, they've gone out and they've said, "How does Superman shave?"
So
this has been an advertising budget that they've created, and they have asked Kevin Smith, who is a comic aficionado and now has you know done lots of comic book stuff,
uh-huh.
Bill Nye, who has that science show, Bill Nye the Science Guy,
yeah,
the MythBusters guy, Jamie, and I don't remember the other guy's name, but.
I know these guys.
Jamie and...
Okay, yeah, okay.
Anyway, MythBusters and Mayim Bialik from Big Bang Theory, you mm-hmm. know, the Sheldon's girlfriend.
Yeah.
So, who actually has a master's degree in neurosciences.
Wow.
In real life.
Yeah.
Not just in the show. So, they've asked these guys, how does you know, Superman shave? And... It's great that they all get together, and there's little tidbits on the internet about how all these guys think that Superman could possibly shave. And,
right.
and the theories run from, you know, using his own heat vision with a mirror to kind of shave himself,
yes, yes.
to wormholes, to, you know, the grinding, you know, Bill Nye.
String theory.
Bill Nye was talking about how, you know, well, rocks are really hard, but you can still grind them down. So, yeah. you know, if you get some yeah. sort of grinding material, you yeah. can still grind
Diamond.
Down the beer. Exactly.
Diamond tip.
So, you know what? Check out, I think it was either Bleeding Cool or Newsarama that had this site. Check it out. It's a lot of fun just to kind of see all these people talking
about. I like
about,
that. I like yeah, that. It's kind of almost guerrilla advertising-ish.
And
in
you
a
know
way.
What? It's just neat to see these people talking about something that, you know, you or I wouldn't necessarily care about how people shave.
Right.
But the person that doesn't really know a lot about comics, they might think about that. Because
fair enough.
you and I certainly don't think about it.
All right. Hey, listen, Gillette, if you're listening,
yeah.
jump on the bandwagon.
All right, listen, here we go. We got a little song here to play for you. This one's called Ghost Riders in the Sky by the old Dick Dale.
You know what I was doing? I was doing that thing. Remember when you hold your nose?
Yeah, yeah. You're
doing
the old
hand up
swimming thing.
And you're swimming
yeah.
and you like, sink down.
I like it. You know what?
I love that.
You know, I don't know where this show's going, but we're swimming by here. Speaking of swimming, And in industry news, Shecky, you do believe you have a
I do believe.
A paying sponsor.
So this part of industry news is brought to you by Captain Canuck's Indiegogo number 2. You guys helped us hit 50K, so you can probably pony up 50 more.
Nice.
I like it. All right, Chris, let's talk about this
Joss
guy.
Joss Whedon.
How do you say his name? Joss?
Joss Whedon. So
Joss.
Joss Whedon was, of course, the director for the Avengers movie, creator of the Buffy franchise, creator of Firefly, creator of Angel, all that kind of great stuff. Now, he has been actually going around the talk show circuit because he's actually doing a release of his own version of Shakespeare's Much Ado About Nothing.
I say.
But nobody cares about that because they're all asking him about Avengers.
Right.
Everybody
hate that.
Nobody cares about his Shakespeare. It's like one of those, you know, I'm an artist. I have things to say.
Yeah.
What have you done for me lately? Talk about the Avengers. Right. You did the Avengers. I want to know about the Avengers. So he's talking about Much Ado About Nothing. However, it is everybody's asking him about the Avengers 2. And he has now said that he is very excited about the Avengers 2 villain. Now, if you saw the original Avengers, this is a spoiler alert, but not really, because 8 billion people saw this movie already, so you should have seen it. So people, everybody knows that Thanos was the final scene credit thing after the credits.
Yeah.
Everybody saw Thanos, so everybody's saying that it's going to be Thanos. However, he's not saying for sure that it's Thanos. We don't know. I mean, people thought...
Josh, come on, buddy. Take it easy.
We don't know.
Yeah. Well, why is he doing that?
But he's very excited because he's saying that... he's saying it is going to be a he, so clearly it's going to be
It's a male.
It is going to be a male, but he doesn't want the bad guy to overshadow the main characters. Now, having said all that, he's also he realizes that he's up against what he's already created, right?
Yeah.
Here's a guy that has, you know, he's directed one movie, was one of the biggest movies of all time, if not the biggest.
Yeah.
And now it's like, hey, now you got to do it again.
Chris, I got to go on a tangent.
Okay,
got to go on a tangent.
Yeah.
Now that you said, you know, he says he's a he.
Yeah.
And aren't like 90% of villains he's?
Yeah, he really narrowed it down, didn't he?
And then I thought, and then I got a tangent thing is, what's the best female villain of all time?
Enchantress.
Of all time? Enchantress? Is that all you can come up with?
Who else is there?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
Black Widow was a villain at one point.
But not anymore.
Okay. Well, Black Cat was a villain.
One of the most popularized
Poison
ones.
Ivy.
Catwoman.
Oh, Poison Ivy.
Okay. Harley Quinn.
What about Cat?
Catwoman. I would say Catwoman.
Catwoman?
Yeah.
I was going to say one of the more popularized ones now through everything that everyone follows because it's to do with Wolverine would be like Lady Deathstrike or whoever that woman is.
Lady
right?
Deathstrike.
I like the way you said that. Lady Deathstrike or whoever.
Yeah,
it's like you don't even care.
Well, do you?
No, not about Lady Deathstrike.
Okay, all right. Sorry to get on that tangent. So,
my answer to that it would be Catwoman.
Catwoman. Sorry. All right. So, Mr. Whedon,
yes,
is saying, you know, after he drove up the price of Iron Man number 55 600-fold,
yeah,
or if not 1,000-fold,
yeah,
which was the first appearance of Thanos, by the way,
That's for John Bitterman because
that's for John Bitterman because John would. Well, why don't you guys talk about
how can you talk about comics?
How do you expect me to know?
We don't know this stuff.
I don't know anything.
Yeah,
I don't even know why I'm listening.
So, anyways, listen. He has said, Joss Whedon has said, I know I will never make a moment more pleasing or as pleasing in a film as Hulk and Loki. Do you remember that in the Avengers movie?
Yeah.
And I agree. That is a classic.
I love it.
Part of the Avengers movie.
Yeah.
I think that he's up against himself here in this one.
Yeah.
And all I'm going to say, I don't want to belabor. We got lots of stuff to talk about. I don't want to belabor this too much, but hopefully he will come out and do a great movie for
us. Listen. Keep it fun. Keep it comic book.
Yes.
Everybody loved the Avengers because it was like a comic book.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't try to write
Dark Knight it up.
Don't Dark Knight it up, or don't try to bring pathos and all that kind of crap into the thing and the human condition and all that stuff. Have that as underlying subtext, but have the kind of fun comic book action that we want to see. We want to see a comic book on the big screen.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Listen, all right. Okay, what are we going to talk about next? We're talking about
Free Comic Book Day.
Free Comic Book Day sets an attendance record for 1.2 million comic fans.
So the numbers are in, basically. Estimates are in for the 2,000 plus comic shops in North America or worldwide, around the world, that host Free Comic Book Day. And they're saying 1.2 million. If you do your math, Chris, that's 600 average attendance for a store on that Saturday. That's a lot of people.
Absolutely, okay, yeah.
600 people for any kind of business to come in one day. And if you're talking about a little local corner comic book shop,
yeah,
that's capacity plus.
For sure.
Right?
You know what was interesting was they said that the event generated $2.2 million worth of free publicity as it was covered by more than 240 TV news shows and 460 news outlets and 720 online sources. So you got your local shows, you got your national shows, you've got your onlines, you've got your radios, you've got all that stuff. Basically, Diamond, mm-hmm. Diamond, really, because mm-hmm. we're going to talk about it. Diamond and the comics industry.
Mr. Bitterman, Diamond, or the comic distributor that sells, is the exclusive comic distributor to the comic book shop.
Oh, yeah, sorry, no. Mr. Bitterman, that was right. For you. Basically, they received $2.2 million worth of free advertising.
Yeah, yeah.
Which you know, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
The industry needs it.
Yeah.
I welcome it.
Yeah.
But wow, what a great way to do it.
Here's what I propose on the show here on, what's our show called?
Comic Culture.
Comic Culture, right. Comic Culture, here's what I propose on Comic Culture is Free Comic Book Day, the website, freecomicbookday.com.
Yep.
Maybe through Diamond or maybe something. You know, I'm reading about these, and it's great when local media covers the event. The problem is local media doesn't cover the event all the time, and local media covers the event when it's too late, is my point.
Well, yeah.
Local media comes down on the Saturday, and then they show it on the 6 o'clock news. Yeah. What the hell good is that?
That is true. Right? Or it'll be like, you know,
on the Monday paper.
Monday afterwards.
Monday paper. Big B, the comic shop in Hamilton, we got coverage on the Monday paper.
Right.
Like, what good is that to me?
Because
right?
People would have forgotten what sort of weekend it is of the year by next year.
Exactly.
Around, right?
By, yeah. What even next year? By Tuesday, they're going to forget. Yeah. My suggestion is through Free Comic Book Day and through Diamond, through some quarterback.
Yep.
I'm suggesting a monthly plan over 12 months.
Okay.
A Free Comic Book Day fund for advertising. So if you take 2,000 shops that put in $10 a month, that's $120 a year.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. 2,000 of them is that's $1 billion, I think. Right?
might as well be, sure. Yeah.
So my point is, and then that can be used.
So you're saying that
through the whole month of April, so through advertising, like popular.
Every comic book shop should kind of like set up an advertising union.
Yeah.
Of sorts. Conglomerate.
Yeah. Through Diamond or through something like that. So
awesome idea.
So
I love
it. Can get like national.
Yeah.
National newspaper, national TV, national something.
I love it.
You know, something like
I love
that,
it. I think it's
know?
A great idea.
I say we get a Super Bowl ad.
You know, listen, you know what? I love it. I think it's a great idea. And I think it's something that all of our listeners should think about while they're listening to Krantz.
Oh, Chris.
Because here it comes. You've been waiting for it. Everybody loves it. Here we go.
We'll be right back.
Chris. That's, of course, the great Buddy Rich with the Krantz Band.
I wish it was, but wow. You know, I don't think I've ever played that one.
That's a good song.
And that was a good one. I like that one a lot.
Who's to say it wasn't Buddy Rich? Walking down.
You know what? You're absolutely right. It could have been.
Walking down,
been.
You know, 68th Street. You know, and going, guys, can I sit in?
You know, I got to tell you this quick story. When I was talking about Buddy Rich. When I was a young hipster teenager who wasn't all that hip,
right.
I remember trying to do my hand at writing prose, you know, and trying to get all kinds of illusions going.
Look
and
at
all
you go,
stuff.
Chris. Look at you go. I love it.
So
this was like last year, wasn't it?
No. This is easily 25 years ago. So I remember I was because, you know, they say what you write about what you know, right?
Yeah.
So I decided about writing about Vietnam.
All right. That makes sense.
Like, you know, the war in Vietnam.
Yeah, because
like,
you can relate.
Because I can relate somehow. So I remember writing a story. And I remember writing the story saying, the rain was coming down hard, like Buddy Rich doing a drum solo on my helmet.
Yeah. That's good. That's strong prose.
And obviously that stuck with you the whole time.
Yeah. I remember I was all happy with it. I gave it to a friend of mine to read. He's like, this is terrible. Yeah. Like Buddy Rich doing a drum solo.
Yeah, but didn't he laugh? It was a comedy.
Yeah, I wish. Yeah. At the time it wasn't.
You should write comics, buddy.
Yeah.
Maybe one for your friend that Art Balthazar could draw.
Yeah.
Wow. Man, all right. Listen, where the hell are we?
All right,
I almost get lost. I have no idea where
industry
we are.
News.
We're segueing
it. Yeah, into the show yet?
Is this a do-over? Are we going to do-over the show?
All right.
We're segueing into the second and remaining half of industry news, which is brought to you by the Stormtroopers Academy of Shooting, being inefficient and ineffective since 1977.
Oh, that's very true. Very, very true.
Have they ever hit anything?
Never.
No.
Those guys stunk. They just, yeah.
But, well, they're all clones. They have brain damage, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Right? So.
From interbreeding.
That's a great segue. Shecky did a great segue, though, into
our
next topic.
Yeah, he did. Great. Because
which is something about Star Wars, right?
Something about Star Wars. Listen, you know, for those of you who are Star Wars fans out there, there is a unique traveling exhibition of Star Wars costumes, props, models, artwork, etc., etc.
Wait a minute. And that's going around local comic book shops?
No.
Oh.
This one is called Star Wars Identities. And it's actually, it's traveling around to various museums and the like.
Museums.
Yeah. So basically, this is going to be, Star Wars Identities is going to be going to the Ottawa Museum of I think it's Space Technology.
Sorry to interject. A lot of comic shops some days, resemble museums.
That is a great point.
Yeah.
Great point.
This is going to a museum in Ottawa.
Yes, going to a museum in Ottawa. So if you want to check it out, it's going. I know recently it is going to the one in Ottawa. Now, having said that, there's going to be R2-D2, Han Solo's Millennium Falcon, Yoda, Chewbacca, Boba Fett, Princess Leia's. They're all going to be on display, like all their costumes and outfits and everything. As well as there's going to be all kinds of stuff based on the Star Wars, the Clone Wars.
Is this like actual props?
Actual live props. I'm assuming parts of the real Millennium Falcon are going to be there.
Right, like Han's blaster will be there.
Yeah, all that kind of
stuff. Okay, as long as like the legit stuff.
No.
Because the other one, otherwise they could just go and make products.
Absolutely.
Then,
no, this is all legit stuff.
Oh,
now,
that's good.
Now, here's the thing. So if you want to go to this exhibition.
Yeah.
They're saying, you know, you can wear, you're more than welcome to wear a costume. Now, Walt, I know you like to dress up once in a while.
Yeah.
However, you have to make sure
a
that.
Butcher. It's my favorite.
Yeah.
Does that mean you wear your wife's dress?
No. Anyway.
All right. So listen, if you want to dress up, you're more than welcome to. However, you cannot cover your face.
Ooh.
And Walt, quite often you've wanted to tell me all about your lightsaber.
Yes, I have.
And
I can't even bring that.
I keep telling you, don't bring your lightsaber up in conversation.
Man.
You cannot.
I
bring
have the purple one.
I don't want to know.
Is it pierced anywhere?
No. It's purple.
It's a little short though. It's like Yoda's.
Right. It's stubby.
It's just a little. It's for little guys. All right. If you want to bring your lightsaber or other weapons to the exhibition, unfortunately, out of consideration for other visitors, Walt, you cannot display you cannot display your lightsaber.
My lightsaber.
Or any replica weapons. No replica weapons.
Chris. I have to ask you about this exhibition. So this exhibition of Star Wars is going to some sort of pompous museum.
but
hold on.
Yes.
So they're bringing stuff, but you basically can't revel in it. You can't dress up as Princess Leia.
You can.
Are you allowed to wear the buns on the ear?
Well, you can wear whatever kind of ear warmers you want.
Right.
You're allowed to dress up. You can't wear anything that shows that disguises your face. And
right.
You can't bring anything that resembles a weapon.
Right. Okay.
Right. Other than that, you can bring whatever you want. So if you want to bring your Wookiee pelts or your Yoda ears, you're more than welcome to do that. And if you want to really if you're really itching to wear the Princess Leia brass bikini from Return of the Jedi, you can do that too.
You might be able to do that.
Are they worried about someone dressed up as Greedo trying to shoot Harrison Ford or something during this thing?
I don't know what they're worried about. That's the problem. I think this is a bad match. Honestly,
what you're
asking is no.
Why not?
Well, at the same time.
Hold on.
Okay.
Okay, you're going to Ottawa. Who goes to these museums in Ottawa?
You know what?
Old grandpas.
Whoever's also seeing Parliament at the same time.
Yeah, old grandpas and grandmas and school kids that hate being there.
Right.
Why do I got to go to this stupid thing?
But I would go to see this exhibition. I would make a special trip to Ottawa to see this.
What I'm going
to
say is,
it's
not a convention. It's not Fan Expo, so I don't think anyone really dress up anyway to go. Who dresses up to go to a museum?
Okay, hold on. In all seriousness, there, if I had kids, right? If I had kids and they liked Star Wars, and I said, "Hey, kids, guess what? We're going to go see the real Millennium Falcon. We're going to go see the real Boba Fett."
Right.
Tell me there wouldn't be head over heels and excitement to see that stuff.
Yeah, but I'm saying that whoever has this real Millennium Falcon, whoever has this Boba Fett thing.
Boba Fett.
They should make sure that their displays are being displayed at, I don't know, Fan Expo or at New York Comic Con or San Diego
Comic Con. But then they can't charge extra to get in.
Oh,
no, you just rent one of those little rooms where they do the panels.
They
charge you extra. They charge you $100 to see Patrick Stewart talk for 20 minutes.
I like the fact that it's at a museum because they're legitimizing it. They're saying that, hey, you know what?
It's like a piece of heritage, historical history.
Right, they're not. It's not just some pop culture fad that nobody will give two craps about a year from now.
Is history. I love what you're saying, but I do think that it should be in like a Toronto area sort of museum or something like that.
Just keep it near
where people are already geared to gravitate towards that product.
But this show does travel around North America, so you know what? Yeah. Ottawa has it right now. Maybe in a year from now or 3 years it'll come to Toronto.
It'll be interesting to see the here's a clash of cultures right now. This would be kind of cool. So what you have is the Museum of Modern Aviation. What the hell is it?
Something like that. Yeah.
The Museum of something. It's the Museum of something in Ottawa.
Yep.
Okay. And so this museum is like a museum. And it's like a staid type museum where tourists come in and stuff like that. And now they're probably going because we're seeping into every part of culture, Chris.
Yep.
Like we've talked about before, the comic culture, the pop culture is seeping into every aspect of life.
Absolutely.
So you have some guy or some girl on the board, on the chair of this museum, and it's going to, I can see the meeting on Monday morning. You know what? Oh, so that, biplane from 1917, the Billy Bishop thing, what do you think we should get that for July? No. We're getting the Millennium Falcon. Huh? What's that, a falcon? We can't have animals in here. So, you know what I'm saying? I'm interested to see if we can punch through this other unproven, untried thing and going into the mainstream.
I hear what you're saying.
What's that thing in
the Guggenheim?
Guggenheim or whatever. Yeah, the Louvre. The Louvre is next.
Smithsonian.
The Smithsonian.
Yeah, okay, I hear what you're saying. I think the only other viable option that could be in this area could possibly be the Ontario Science Center.
Yeah.
Because okay. that's something that they could go to and they could talk about the science of it and all that kind of stuff. Listen, right. you know what? Well, I don't know where the time goes. Unfortunately,
really
we're running way, way too long on this stuff. Unfortunately, that is all the time that we've had for today.
All right, listen, Comic Culture is produced by Shecky Feldstein, also known as Marty Berthelmer, engineered by Young Buck, Andrew Roebuck, sitting to my left, to Chris's right, to Shecky's center. Comments and suggestions, please visit comicbookdaily.com. Scroll down to the comments field and please add your comments. We do read them. We do like them. Also listen to us on getthepointradio.com.
And remember to go out and support your local comic book retailer and, you know, head on out to Ottawa and check out the Star Wars Pavilion.
Yes, and don't forget to visit us, the crew of Comic Culture at the Niagara Comic Con.
Yes, and have yourself a great day.